Welcome back. It's the Four Amigos. Got James and Colin from Movie Rankers back. How are you?
Good to be back. Thank you. Thanks for having us back.
Anytime. We got action movie undercover narc himself, John Mark, is back on the show as always.
Oh, it's great to be here.
And I'm your host, Sully, and I'm not going to solidify this. I'm just going to make this very official. I'm going to flat out say we are talking the evolution of Planet Hollywood. While we have in general talked about the actual famous restaurant of the same name, I figured, hey, how about just do a brief cliff notes of the one and only careers of Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Bruce Willis. Why did they get to be that rivaling trio? And how did they evolve throughout the various eras? So, once again, always a joy having you guys on because you are big movie buffs and you're all about it's just kind of why did you see these movies just endless times throughout VHS and DVD Blu-ray eras? Why are you going to watch them 500 more times before you die? So it's great having you guys on. So, it's interesting how all three of these guys' careers have basically, you know, started out late in the 70s. Basically, Arnold was a featured extra or heavy. He got to be on the streets of San Francisco. Hit it off big with the Conan and Terminator franchise. Stallone, same deal, Rocky and Rambo, and then doing his own thing. And Bruce Willis came in very late in the game after being a TV actor and extra. And then, you know, after Die Hard, it was pretty much a matter of a bunch of expensive flops and ensemble work. So it's interesting seeing how we are now in the 2020s. I never could have predicted where they are now, you know, with Bruce Willis was doing a lot of made for digital, made for, you know, limited release movies, and apparently has a form of dementia, is officially retired this year. Stallone is still doing unusual vanity projects that no one knows what to expect. And then Arnold's been kind of silent, just slowly developing a lot of stuff, mainly just been active on Twitter, doing political talk.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think Stallone will ever stop.
He can't. He's got a gadget.
He just won't allow him to stop. Ever since he started Rocky, and when you hear the stories of how that film got made and what he had to sacrifice to get that done, I'm not surprised he's still going at the age he is, because he must have some sort of, you know,
Duracell. And then it took him rebooting the character again to get another award nom. It's just like, what do you do when audiences want to keep seeing you do the same thing again, regardless of whether it's formulaic or not? And it is funny how, I think you're right. He could easily be a part cyborg with a pacemaker that's not working, and he'd still be trucking along, no problem. 500 surgeries later. I think he's getting divorced this year, believe it or not, and he's still
trucking. He is.
25 years married, wouldn't he?
That was just announced when his movie came out.
Jeez, that had to suck. I'm sure he just did the PR and then just went home and got hammered and just said, fuck it. I hope you like my new Amazon Prime movie. It's all on digital. Thank you very much.
Nice. You seen the marathon?
I want to.
I have.
I've watched it, yeah.
What's your takes?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was very, I thought it was very throwback. It felt very early 90s, 80s action.
From what I was seeing, I didn't go in any reviews because I didn't want spoilers, but I was kind of getting a mild kind of Heroes, Unbreakable kind of vibe from it. I was just like, okay, so it's just...
That's kind of what they're going for with that, I would say.
Watchable, one-time watch, okay watch, mediocre watch.
I'd say one-time watch for that.
One time, okay.
Yeah.
I'll probably go back and watch it again. I really did enjoy it. I thought the fight sequences and stuff in it, although they were, you know, very Stallone, very punchy, very
beefcake.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, beefcake fight scenes. It was definitely a throwback. I'd recommend it.
Especially if you're fans of Stallone.
Do you think it's just more on candy kind of role for him compared to some of his other vanity projects that kind of flopped hard or were great, but we didn't see enough of them?
I could say that, yeah.
All right.
You guys know when Expendables 4 is due out?
Apparently next year. Ironically.
I keep trying to find news about that.
2023, apparently. Yeah, they did like some Vegas expo where they were also showing off like John Wick 4.
Footage. That's it.
Yeah, random footage, different. The poster looks very cool.
Yeah.
So this brings me to my next question, and I'll circle around. So, James, Barney Ross from The Expendables, or John J. Rambo? Who wins the fight?
Oh, Rambo. There's no...
I know, but see,
no question. No.
Barney stays alive through homages and comic book logic stuff, and Rambo's also kind of a comic book superhero. So, like the Punisher.
I think with Rambo, you've got the full story by now, haven't you? You've seen
more. He's got more machetes and gunplay to where eventually Barney's going to say "fuck it."
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you've seen him grow up, Barney. What do you really know about Barney? You don't really know a lot about him. You don't know a lot about his past.
He was in Serbia. He let a woman trip on a landmine. He was miserable with Mickey Rourke, and he got betrayed by Mel Gibson. So technically, Rambo and Riggs, they were working together again. Okay, so Colin,
I think I'm going to have to say Rambo because I never see Barney Ross as a major threat. Like when you see him, Rambo is pretty much indestructible, isn't he? Kind of, you see all the stuff he's gone through mentally and all that.
He's like Jack Bauer, McClane, even John Reese on Person of Interest. He's going to take 500. You can break his leg and basically skin him almost alive like the Predator, and he's eventually going to just persist.
And then you kind of look at Marlon and in the film, someone he got his ass whooped by Van Damme and stuff like that. He's more human, I think, than not that Rambo isn't human, but his characters.
He can survive a rock fall.
Yeah.
Kind of just broke his back in that rock fall, didn't he? In the first one.
This is the first one, and he's like, "We are not whatever." And fans wanted Stone Cold back, and he's like, "No, not wrestling with that giant prick anymore." All right, so John, who wins this scuffle, hand to hand or in a gunfight?
I also say Rambo as well.
Just by default, the nostalgia is too huge. Okay, cool.
Have you got one of these questions for all of the actors we're talking about today?
Oh yes.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Alrighty. So, Conan versus Terminator is not fair. So I'm gonna go with John Krueger from Eraser versus John Matrix from Commando. Versus
how dare you?
How dare you? Yes, I am a bastard. Versus pulling up other endless Stallone characters. What's his name in Last Action Hero?
Is it John as well? Isn't it?
No, it's
Jack Slater. versus Jack Slater in Last Action Hero.
All my names must begin with a J, otherwise I get confused.
Right. If it's not James Bond, your name begins with a J. versus what's his name in Total Recall? I'm a bastard.
Quaid?
Yes, Howdy Quaid. Okay. So Jack. All right. Douglas Quaid versus Jack Slater versus John Krueger versus John Matrix. It's Arnold showdown.
Who wants to take this one first?
As a refresher for those who don't know, Matrix is basically special ops and is a Rambo knockoff. Krueger is basically also special forces who makes people disappear in witness protection and has superpowered sci-fi guns. Jack Slater is a movie character, and we'll presume they're all in a movie together, and he has dynamite, a giant red Cadillac, and a shotgun. Quaid can rip people's arms off and has all kinds of other ass kicking on Mars to be proud of. So, and maybe a hologram so he can disguise himself.
Yeah.
this is quite a tough one, actually.
Because if it was Commando, or if it was just Conan or Terminator, you would just be like, "Oh, well, it's a machine." Versus, "Well, I like Conan more." You know, it wouldn't be much of a fight. It'd be nostalgia. So,
I think Matrix could take it because you see how many bad guys like he kills at the end of that film.
You think he's got the stealth and the sci-fi guns?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no, it's just like these hundreds of people running at him.
He does.
He's there with a machine gun. He's just taking them all out, and then he's got.
He is good with a parachute. Okay. all right, Colin, how about you?
I'm going Slater. Let's face it. I mean, he was
the dynamite, baby. Okay.
He's virtually indestructible in that film as well. He can't.
Even in the real world, kind of.
Even in the real world, no, he does in the real world. As long as he's got that gold ticket, he's all right. So all I'm right. going to say, Action Hero is a bloody good film. I don't care what anyone says about that.
Oh, yeah. I just got the Blu-ray recently, and I can't wait to give it to my uncle, who's going to be like, oh, what? This sounds familiar. Who's it by? It's the same writer as Ready Player One and Free Guy. in our mind, I'll get you guys back on for that episode. In our mind, that is the perfect virtual reality trilogy. Anyway.
Kind of makes sense.
Actually, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They even put in a Easter egg for Last Action Hero where they were making Ready Player One, and the writer, Zach Penn, you know, made them all. It was like, get out. No, where? Glad to have some fans 20 years later. John, how about yourself? Who are you going with? Kruger, Matrix, Quaid?
It's like, I want to say Kruger, but I'm going to have to go Matrix.
Okay, even better.
He's like indestructible.
I eat green berets for breakfast. All right.
Think about him from Predator.
Oh, yeah. Dutch.
Dutch would have taken it, honestly. He probably would.
He does have that grenade launcher and can survive an alien.
Versus Rambo if we're doing crossovers. So.
Oh, okay. Well, shit. Okay, so whoever wins has to fight McClane one way or the other. So.
Oh, man. We're going deep now.
Okay, so Matrix versus Rambo. I'm kind of a Quaid guy, even though as much as I love Slater and Matrix, Quaid just has the best one-liners. This is like, get your ass to Mars. Especially because Verhoeven's just basically satirizing all the other movies. Like, you can just tell, like, when he's mistaken for a John McClane at the airport, I'm like, yeah. Well, Verhoeven's shitting on American blockbusters. I love it. Matrix versus Rambo. Who's going to run out of ammo first and then have to fight with a knife? In fact, let's just say knife fight, because just machine guns is so unfair, even for their invincibility.
which Rambo knife, though?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just say he has all of them, the throwing knives as well as just the explosive arrows, and Matrix has a pipe he can throw and impel people with.
Okay.
I think I'd go Rambo still. Yeah. He's a bit more sneaky, you know.
He's got enough of a John McCain being captured and enduring torture. Okay, perfect. Yeah. I just give it to Matrix just by an edge, even though he is a knockoff character. The director even said he stole basically all the footage of Rambo and just studied it for like a day. Matrix, I just feel, is going to crash enough cars and defy gravity, and maybe he has. It's not shown, but in my mind, you know, even though Rambo jumps out of copters and has saved probably over 5,000 POWs, and I just have a feel that Matrix is just gonna, like, he's just gonna have that stupid cool John Wick mentality to him, where he's just gonna do something that sets him off. And I mean, he takes out a mall full of a bunch of cops.
Yep. Oh, I forgot sure that does. Scene. Where he's swinging he's swinging from the balloons, isn't he?
Yeah.
Balloon things that he tears apart and he swings. Yeah.
I had some pals who were on cult cinema catacombs, and they actually went to they used to go to the same malls from where that was filmed. So every once in a while when they would visit on rare occasions, you're like, ooh, they had commando vibes in my mind.
I wonder if I'll get in trouble if I jump on top of that lift. Elevator.
Right. I would want to swing and then be like, oh shit, what am I fucking thinking?
you wouldn't get all the way, you'd be just stuck in the middle then. You're just left there hanging. You're like, oh shit, what already know?
Yeah. All right, John, who are you going with?
I might have to go Matrix as well.
Okay, perfect.
Indestructible.
Indestructible. Alrighty. Well, so kudos, everyone's a winner here. So Matrix and Rambo team up to go after McClane. Is that going to be enough, or is McClane going to be able to crash enough cars, send people up in an elevator, and steal other people's machine guns and set off explosions with computers.
See, the thing with McClane is, I think he's got luck on his side, hasn't he? I mean, you look what he's done. He's jumped off.
Well, these all guys kind of do have luck. They have skill, yeah. But they also kind of, it doesn't really matter what their rank is. He's an NYPD guy who was in, who couldn't even rely on the dysfunctional LAPD D unit.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, like, out of all the things that I see them do, you can kind of think that what Rambo and Matrix do, that they're trying to do what they want to do. They're trying to do what they're doing. Whereas McClane, like, he's forced into these situations, right, and he's winging it, winning. And yeah.
Like, so you think they're going to give him a taste of his own medicine to make him fall to his death like Hans Gruber? Got it, right?
Yeah, totally. Like, who would have thought that ejector seat in the
center? Now, could Hans Gruber and his men take these fuckers on? No. Let's just say let's just say Simon Gruber's there as backup. They all got a copter. Can Rambo hijack Simon's copter? Simon. And can Matrix stop all his bombs from going off?
He only lives around the corner from us, doesn't he?
Yeah. Jeremy Irons. Just up the road.
Just lives around the corner from us.
No way.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, we see him in the supermarket sometimes.
Yeah.
Does he have a dog with him? I know my pal, my old professor George Beck, who had worked with Franco Nero on an Italian movie back in like 2005, did a documentary like making up thing in New York. It was like a press kit for Kingdom of Heaven and like play on like the movie channels, and he got to see Jeremy Irons there, and he's like, ah, yes, I've seen this man in a bunch of movies before. Oh, what a nice guy. And he's got nothing on his mind except a dog. He's got a pet dog he would bring with him.
I've never seen a dog.
But then again, you know,
I was 05. Dogs don't live long, so
that's fair. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
Well, no, kudos, and I'm glad you respect his privacy. I see so many other people who want to get in someone's face, and you know, I would just shake your hand and just say, "Thank you, you're making a difference." I wouldn't ask for a fucking autograph.
I wouldn't do that either.
Yeah.
You see people around, and you know, we've got quite a big TV show over here in England that was filmed in our town where we live, called Midsummer Murders. And
I've seen that one.
You're laughing because it's not like widely known. It's not, you don't get many famous people in, but it's something our town is known for, kind of thing. So,
and you see it mixed up with Murdoch Mysteries, but yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. You've got like you see those kind of
actors. Murdoch's more Canadian.
And stuff like that. And you kind of like, you get used to seeing those kind of people. And we have people from soaps as well, like soap operas.
There's quite a lot around here, isn't
it? Yeah, from like EastEnders and that kind of stuff. So
there you go. The EastEnders, maybe the in-betweeners are going to be on there soon.
Well, actually, I had an experience with the in-betweeners. So they were doing a meet and greet in Bournemouth, where I was at college.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, I got too drunk and I got kicked out because I was trying to dance with Carly. And they're like, sorry, mate. Get off her and leave her.
At least you didn't piss off Monty Python. That's all that counts.
No, I didn't like it.
Stop that. It's silly. All right, so.
Topics, I guess. There you go. We got distracted there, don't we?
It's all good. No, this is fun. Okay, so. So both Grubers, you think Matrix or Rambo can handle their firepower?
Yeah, they can take it down. That's good.
I think that's pretty easy for them.
Is it going to be 5 hours, though, versus 2 hours?
Because
I love all these guys so much. You know, Hans is ex-German Special Forces. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but then he got thrown out a window, didn't he? So I guess it doesn't mean shit when you get thrown out of a window.
Well, I mean, Bennett had a bunch of men, so I don't know. It's up to you.
I don't know. His plan is particularly that good either.
No.
So last one here for Bruce Willis, as Key and Peele call him. Is it Frankie the Tulip in Whole Nine Yards movies, or is it Frank Moses in the Red movies?
Oh, yeah.
Both action comedy hitmen.
I've only seen the Whole Nine Yards once. I can't remember that very well.
All right, so I guess Frank takes it. That's Frank
Moses.
He
defends his house pretty well. All right, awesome. So that's it for all those fun versus matches. That was fun. That was a fun warm up. So Where do you see, who are you kind of just, who stood out to you guys more just growing up? I was always kind of like, I saw Stallone first and I grew on to more Arnold more. And, you know, Bruce, I saw throughout and he's kind of was my number two, but I was just always just into Arnold, just Doug, the one-liners, how he had just enormous casts, uncanny formulas that just no one else could seem to do with whether he was doing a straight or a campy face. And I literally dig most of his resume. Like even the bad ones, like, you know, Jingle All the Way or what have you, is like, they're Arnold classics. So this is like, even Batman and Robin, I will quote every once in a while. It wasn't the ice age that killed the dinosaurs. It was the ice. I love that man. I love that man so much. So if Netflix ever gets off their ass and makes that spy show of his, please make it happen.
He's going to be in the sequel to Kung Fury, isn't he, as well? He's playing the president.
I cannot wait. I'm so glad, because every time we saw those shorts, it's like, I want more. And so it's like, it should be a feature. And
it's all film, isn't it, I think?
Do you think that's going to ruin it, though? The reason why something's good isn't because of how long it is. If they make it into a, like, you see things that have developed from short films and they've been built into bigger films, feature lengths, and sometimes it doesn't always go the way you think it's going to go.
I think the idea of Kung Fury, as it's so out there.
Are we thinking, is it the guy with the green screen who did the whole thing himself?
Yeah, he's got the dinosaur partner.
I mean, that kind of just adds to the fun.
Just from that description, they could pretty much go anywhere with it.
As John knows.
You can put a green screen, you can go anywhere. Like, Cam's in San Francisco right now.
There he is.
Fair enough. Right. You might see Nash Bridges' car exploding behind me. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Anyway. Look over here. I think you can see Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy chasing after bank robbers. All right.
Oh, I love that. 48 Hours was amazing. I love that. And the second one, another 48 Hours.
I did too. I reevaluated it. And it was one of those, I had the misfortune of seeing them edited on TV. edited on TV. So I didn't get to see, you know, I just saw a violent, you know, confusing movie, you know, for the first one. And then I saw the part two and I'm like, I'm told this is funny. There's not much comedy in part two, but the villains are great, but fuck. What's going on? And so when half the dialogue is profanity, it's just like, and I do think they are underrated, because, and I did get the recent Blu-rays recently discounted, because they do have some great much needed special features to where you're like, hey, if we're not going to see those extended cuts, at least tell us more cool stories working behind the scenes formulating this. I love how they repeat the formula on the second one. They're like, I'm going to shoot you out a window again. So brace for impact. So yeah, in my
the Blu-ray front of the 48 Hours,
yeah, get that. Walter Hill shed some more light on Brian James's crooked cop storyline that was filmed but omitted, unfortunately. And again, you know, that was by the Die Hard Commando writers, so that's just why it jives with us. It's just it's dynamite entertainment, and it's quotable, and it deserves more love, in my opinion, than say some of the other buddy formulas. So. I got to do one more Arnold round. Harry Tasker in True Lies. You ready for this? Versus his, I think it's Nikolai's his name in Red Heat.
True Lies.
Tasker.
I mean, he's got machine guns, but I'm betting on Ivan Danko.
Cocaine Red Heat is a terrific film.
Oh, yes. Cocaine. He had to put up with James Belushi's bullshit. He had to put up with James Belushi's bullshit. That's a pro, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's why then he only worked with dogs for the rest of his career.
Oh, man. Okay, so, man, just one more. I just cannot help myself. So, the T-101 versus the T-800 versus the T-850 versus the Guardian.
Oh, okay.
All the Terminators.
The Guardian, is that from Genesis?
Wait, I hope not. Yes, shit. Okay, we're just regarding that one. I'm going with Carl from Dark Fate. Okay, So the original OG in the first one versus the seeming unstoppable one who takes on the T-1000 versus the one who takes on the TX versus, again, the one who saves Hamilton and the newcomers.
I'll say the original.
I'd say that's what I was going down.
I think the T-800 could take on the T-101. I think he would have eviscerated him within frame one. As much as I love how he has a bigger body count, I just think he would have just headbutted him a few more times and just maybe ran him over with his motorcycle. Because he literally got this exact same shit, the shotguns.
I just think you don't... I'm just looking at what level of...
Because the 101 is the same model that Christian Bell takes on in Salvation. I'm just saying.
But... I know they're all kind of programmed the same as well, but like the one from the original.
I get that the Arnold thing makes it even more badass.
Yeah, he doesn't get beat up that much, though, does he, in the original? I know there's only Kyle Reese there and he's not facing another Terminator, but I don't know. There's just something about that one that Arnold being a bad guy, there's just something menacing about it, isn't it?
Terminator. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's I even secretly like it more than T2 just because the editing and low budget looking bigger than it actually is and not catering to the lowest common denominator or sleazeball shit like most drive-in movies were at that time. It's just a synthwave score and just the exposition without being like a typical Star Wars movie where you're like, okay, get off your high horse. Let's go.
It's really, really get off the screen.
Right?
What does that say? That's Harrison.
I just want to go back to my trailer. Fuck you, George Lucas.
I'm just trying to think whether that... Yeah, that was... I'm trying to think whether if I had the Arnold Schwarzenegger as a bad guy first experience or whether I saw him as a good guy first. Because I can't remember that. Right.
He's just misunderstood. You just gotta leave him alone like defense and falling down. Don't set him off. That would actually have been hysterical had they used the John Wick tagline. The Terminator. Don't set him off. Coming soon.
I would love that tagline.
Don't set him off.
I think I would have probably seen Kindergarten Cop first.
Oh.
I think I would have seen
Kindergarten. We are on. So, yeah. Detective John Kimble versus any of these fuckers. Because, I mean, he's got to put up with a school full of kids. I'm saying.
Yeah, my daughter started school this week, and I feel so sorry for that teacher. Fair play. need to be paid like hundreds of thousands of pounds more than they get paid because those little bloody terrors. I couldn't deal with it.
You're swearing a lot worse.
I was going to say something.
Fuck. Here you go. Christian Grannon.
Those little fuckers can just do one, honestly. I love my daughter pieces, but do I like her? Not right now. So it's fine.
This is going to be captured in this.
That's fine. Yeah, she'll hear this when she's 30 and be like, yeah, fuck you, Dad. And I'll turn around and I'll go, fuck you back.
All righty. All good. Okay, so I'm giving you an ultimate Stallone face-off.
Okay.
I cannot help myself. So you want Deke from Nighthawks versus Cobretti from Cobra versus Tango from Tango and Cash.
Tango, 100%.
I'm doing Tango as well.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, very nice.
He's just got that, he's got that intelligence, which I don't think any of the other Stallone characters had before.
That is very true.
He's like a muscly Egon from Ghostbusters.
I'm more of a John Spartan guy.
John Spartan.
I don't know. I think Robert Rath from Assassins could help him out. If we're bringing in Ray from The Specialist, then this thing really gets even more messy. So, I mean,
John Spartan, which one? Oh, Demolition Man.
Right, Demolition Man. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Tango is an essential Stallone role, but at the same time, I think just Cobra's just going to beast it, even though I think that movie's just so fucking stupid.
Has Stallone ever been a bad guy?
You could count Assassins as an anti-hero / villain, but whatever.
But I'm thinking
he's never been a flat villain, hasn't he?
You've got Schwarzenegger as the Terminator. You've got Bruce Willis as the Jackal. I'm thinking, has he ever been the bad guy where he's been like the villain?
Yeah, no, I think.
I mean, he's not in an action movie, I should say.
So there you go. Film. It's funny how that works. I mean, he played King Shark in the new Suicide Squad. That just goes to game. So here's one for you. So Judge Dredd versus John Spartan from Demolition Man.
Dredd.
I think Spartan has enough. Spartan. I mean, he took on Wesley Snipes. That's Rambo versus Blade right there.
If it was the Carl Urban Dredd, I think he would have. He could have.
Carl Urban and Frank Grillo and Michael J. White should all be in the next few Expendables movies. I don't care what anyone says.
They should have got Michael J. White instead of 50 Cent.
Yeah. It just keeps going around. I know John hates 50 with every cent of his heart. I've liked him more in Den of Thieves and the Power Show, but
I mean, I liked him in Den of Thieves. That's about it, though.
Well, in all fairness, he was working for Randall Emmett.
he's got history with Stallone, though, hasn't he? From the Escape Plan film,
he was supposed to be in there before they decided on Terry Crews. So, so here's one: Ray Breslin from the Escape Plan trilogy, or wait for it, Frank from Lockup. Who's going to survive a prison better? The guy who designed it versus the guy who was framed?
That's interesting.
The guy when Escape Plan came out, I was like, this is a Lockup love letter. I just know it.
Lockup guy doesn't escape at the end, though, does he? He like shows the
he corruption. Electrocutes the warden.
That's true.
But he doesn't escape, so he's still in prison at the end of the film, right?
Kind of, sort of. I mean, I think he could take him on. So let's just say, for sake of argument, they're both in a prison that neither of them been to and Ray has not designed. And Ray doesn't have Arnold backing him up. And Frank does not have the sympathy of prison guard John Amos. So then who's going to blow up a car or cause a prison riot first if we allow outside interference?
I would say Breslin, then. I reckon.
Okay. I think Frank would work, because, I mean, he survived the wrath of Danny Trejo in that prison, so. Got to root for the underdog. It's Rocky in prison. As much as I like Escape Plan. So, a few more. How about Gabe from Cliffhanger versus, wait for it, I can never say these in time. Freaking Kit from Daylight.
What an underrated.
I do film. Like Daylight.
What an underrated.
It's got Daniel Harrison, which is always a plus.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah. So is he going to be team Janine Turner or team Viggo Mortensen?
You know what? I'm going to go with the one that makes me a bit more emotional, which is probably Daylight. Yeah.
All
right. I think, he saves more people in Daylight, right?
Yeah, including his son. All right.
For a while.
Yeah, I think I'll go Daylight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So you have basically chosen the victors. So so now to finish this up, is it John Spartan or is it Tango? Who's the ultimate cop here?
Right. I'm gonna say Tango. Ooh.
I gotta go with Spartan.
Yeah.
I think I'll
As awesome as Tango is, I kind of feel like Cash kind of saves his ass one too many times in the prison alone.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go
Spartan. I'm going Spartan as well.
All right, even better. So Tango and Cash, but now they're in the Escape Plan prison with the lockup villains.
I think I'll go Tango and Cash for that. I think they could escape that. Mm. Yeah.
All right, even better. This has been fun.
But we haven't done many Bruce Willis. I was just looking at his film.
Yeah, I just did the whole nine yards. Okay, so Butch from Pulp Fiction versus Last Man Standing.
And they're
in a punch out. They no guns allowed.
Last Man Standing, did you say?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said Joey from The Last Boy Scout.
Okay, even better. Let's just put them all in there. It's the same thing. So yeah,
Daniel Harris is also in that. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Joe, Butch, and Last Man Standing guy. Sorry, I don't know his name.
I'd go with Joe from
The Last. I think Butch. I think Butch has this.
It's like touch me again, I'll kill you.
Yeah,
and then it goes bang, and it's like
he holds that fag.
He does have the killer punch, but that's after putting himself in that position. And I think Butch, he never lets his guard down. He's got a motorcycle. He even kills John Travolta with his own machine gun.
Tom Hardy in striking distance. Who could we put him against?
I'm gonna put him against the Jackal.
Oh yeah, the Jackal.
The Jackal's got all those automatic machine guns.
I was gonna say, so he wins by default there.
Worst comes to worst, I in my mind, striking distance guys might be the same guy as the one he plays in Mercury Rising.
Okay, yeah, that's a good shout.
That's if he was undercover for way too long. Okay, so, here's one. This is a more recent one. So, Jeff Talley from Hostage versus Jack Mosley from 16 Blocks. One is a hostage negotiator who saves a bunch of kids. The other is a cop trying to rat out some crooked cops. Both pretty deadly.
Don't think I've seen Hostage.
I haven't seen Hostage. I've seen 16 Blocks.
Yeah. All right, so fair enough.
Yeah, I think by default, yeah.
One of them dies, I'm just saying. Even though I like 16 Blocks more insane.
I forgot, yeah, that's true.
You can play the movie with the alternate ending, but I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an interesting one. Which McClane?
Ooh.
One, two, three, four. We'll forget five exists, because...
Yeah, five does not exist.
What's guilty the... pleasure. So five is basically his character from The Expendables fucking up Russia. I think part three... Part four is the definition of the character, but I think part three and four could have a stalemate. Part three is
not the best part.
Part three is the best part.
Like, he gives me a lot of grief for my rankings of the Die Hard films, because they're...
Well, I'm discounting part two, because to me, that's just McClane in an airport movie with crappy security. So, I mean...
Part two is my favorite.
I know, it's fine. It's... I just dig part three, how... That elevator scene has been just parodied and ripped off in so many other blockbusters, Captain America 2 being a perfect example. Yeah. But part four, I mean, he killed a helicopter with a car. So, I mean,
yeah.
That's why I think John McClane in part four is probably the winner out of that, because he just seems to take everything to the limit a lot more in that. He gives less fucks and stuff.
Yeah. I'm gonna do part four. I'd probably do the same thing if I was getting sick of Kevin Smith. I don't know. He's being told to get a discount on Apple products by the Mac kid. Brilliant. So, the Terminator versus Rambo.
Well, it's going to have to be the Terminator, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say Terminator.
It's a good...
You can't. It's a robot.
Why yeah, but
not I know. But Rambo is almost like John Connor in some capacity.
Yeah, that's very true.
Michael Biehn can kill a Terminator. It wasn't even Michael Biehn. It was Sarah Connor. She was the one who...
Right. That's boom true. Goes the dynamite.
Actually, I changed my mind on that. I think I'll go Rambo.
Yeah.
Well, see, this is the fun. Because when they run out of guns, it's like Rambo can survive all these stabbings and the Terminator does all this other kind of dirty play.
I wonder what his reaction, Rambo's reaction would be once he got stabbed.
Okay, so let's just say the Terminator puts his fist through him just like he does the punks. Is Rambo still going to be alive? Is Rambo going to be alive? It can be a tie, but can Rambo be alive long enough to break the T-800's neck and blow him up?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a stalemate. Can Rambo be living long enough to, make it to the end of the movie before he dies at his Native American cemetery?
I was just thinking about like original question around what your first experiences with these guys were. Like for me when I was young.
We're playing around.
But for me when I was young, Stallone was always like larger than life. I saw him as like he was always the top of the pyramid, right?
Because he did it all himself. He could direct, he could write, he could hire all these invaluable character actors and he would sneak them in there. I forget his name. He's Felix Leiter in License to Kill and the police captain in 48 Hours and Last Action Hero. Frank McGray, I think, is his name. And he would sneak him in, lock out, and Stick, Fist was one, and then a bunch of other ones. And he was just, he always brought a bunch of various actors all together and just would always just say, I got to put you in this. And as full of shit as he has been, especially more recently, I just kind of got to applaud him because he does have an unusual, uncanny persona. It's just like you still want to sit down with him and just listen to him, even when he's full of it. Yeah. He just has something about him that is different from a typical, say, athlete or music artist who's been troubled.
true.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the U.S. We are in the U.K. We are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
But I think I always had more fun with Bruce Willis's films.
Oh, totally. Bruce had a lot more diversity, and at the same time, just had a few flops here and there, and much like what Stallone did with like Copland or whatever, it was cool seeing him every once in a while just kind of, especially when he was with Shyamalan, you know, he's like, there you go into horror sci-fi territory with, you know, Sixth Sense and Unbreakable. And that's where I was like, whoa, this is very badass. And Tears of the Sun definitely is underrated. It is a very cool look at just getting all this, again, Rambo adrenaline. It's a shame that the movie was a shit show to film, but hey, you know, just get the extended cut on DVD if you can, get the new Blu-rays. It's just so cool just seeing, you know, again, a callous Seal, that in Men of War with Dolph Lundgren, I still think, and even the Sicario movies, I think all do a wonderful job with showing that special forces life and just how everyone finds their breaking point, rediscovers their inner humanity, even if it's just a minor simple pat on the back. It's just so cool to just see someone who's just like, it takes basically just being forced to finally just kind of reconvene, and then the movie ends as soon as they win the battle. He's like, we already know how it is. We don't need any more melodrama anymore, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so many movies seem to do it wrong. They take way too long with like they don't go to the, you know, all I ask for a war movie nowadays is to at least do the Guns of Navarone strategy, show why your members, or even the Wild Geese, you know, show why your members of the team are cool, show their strategy, and then show the last 20 minutes of insane action. And unfortunately, as we've seen recently, just so many movies just want to just wave the flag, get people to enlist, and not focus on the goddamn movie. And you're like, this renders me everything false. This is like a very bad Call of Duty cosplay. I say that as a fan of Call of Duty, but I'm just like, yeah.
You seen the trailer for that new Dolph Lundgren film and Gorilla? I can't remember what it's called. That's about
Section 8. Is that the one?
Yeah,
Scott Adkins. Yeah. I have not.
Not Section 8. No, this is get up on IMDb.
Is it the World War II movie? Yeah, movie he's doing. I'm a little iffy on that because I was really found War Pigs to be a chore, but I'll just take that with a grain of salt. Hopefully that's good. I'd like to think Frank Grillo gets better things to do.
But Section 8, you said that trailer, that intrigues me. That looked pretty good.
Yeah, I know some people were shit-talking because the directors are known for cheap movies, but I'm like, hey, you know, I have seen some movies do a decent movie, even if it was filmed in just 2 to 3 weeks. And if we have to suffer through crappy HD, then that's just what we got to do. If we get some cool fights, you know, it can be a decent Art of War, Commando.
Did you see the trailer for Axe the Man 2 crop today?
I didn't, but I think it's cool. Is it cool?
Fun.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. Yeah.
So they're bringing Ray Stevenson back, and I thought Ray Park died, but it looks like they're bringing him.
Yeah, he did.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But it's, you should watch it. There's a lot of fun characters and stuff in it from what I can see so far.
Oh, yeah. No, the first one was great. I thought it was cool that Atkins has been working with Ashley Green, giving her some cool stuff, because much like Colin Lutz, they were part of the Twilight crew, and I never, you know, I'd seen them in movies before and after, and I was like, I don't think they're bad actors. They're just B-movie listeners. You know, they're just not, they're not big. They're not Emily Blunt, Julia Roberts level. And they got the skills, they got the body, they got the persona. They just need better scripts and agents, you know? So no, I'm glad they're revisiting that character finally. And we had Michael Scott on a few times from Atkins on Disputed. He now does Action for Everyone podcast, and he found it so funny how people kept coming to him, and he's like, I'm not Atkins' agent, I'm just following him and talking about it. But I was like, well, they trust you.
That's true.
You're following him, you're like the number one fan. I hope it's good. I just wish Atkins could get just more mainstream, like, just movies instead of just being the featured henchman like he was in Expendables 2 and Doctor Strange 1. You know, you just really want him to get more dialogue and not just limited releases. But much like Michael J. White, he has a fan base, and he's got to just keep trucking along.
I wish he would get to think for the big screen at least.
Yeah, as opposed to just your local Angelica or two select theaters, you know, same day as video on demand. You just really want an extra push. And same thing with Frank Grillo and Carl Urban, as I've said before, they can do it all. They can act, they can do the stunts, they can do fights, they can play all these different characters, they can take it from one to down a bit, you know, is however you want them to do, they're going to do it. And they seem to be some of the few A-listers who everyone has been fortunate enough to see them in their mainstream stuff, as well as their lower budget, medium budget stuff. And it just makes you wish that, again, they had more love, because they seem to have an okay agent, and they definitely, I enjoy how many more actors seem to know what their brand is instead of pulling an Idris Elba or The Rock, where I'm in this because investors said so, you know? And I say that as a fan, they were cool when they first took off, and now it just seems like they just picked whatever dog shit just comes first, and it's like, damn it, guys.
I thought The Rock was so careful about his brand in terms,
especially when he fired his agent by 2010, and now it seems like he's back to square one. I got to be in every other animated cartoon movie, or
it does feel like that, doesn't it? Yeah,
and I know something was wrong when I saw a DC apologist just getting so bored by the Black Adam trailer. It's like, well, that's not good.
I think Warner Brothers just needs to cut their ties with all of this and move on.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it because basically they're going to become the net. My prediction is they will be like the next Netflix. And when everyone realizes, I don't want to rewatch that amazing HBO show for the time, I got the Blu-rays and DVDs, they're going to just drop them like wildfire because much like Netflix, they just want a bunch of easy shit like documentaries, movies no one's heard of that aren't good, and then just more reality shows and other bullshit. It's like, okay, I got something better to do than watch cooking shows all day. Just saying. Because that's what it is. Discovery merged with them now. So now they pulled a Netflix and they started canceling all the new shows that they had lined up. Yeah, it was just like, what the fuck, guys? That's how you get people to, much like how people gave up cable, you know, because they got tired of NBC and Fox canceling their favorite shows. It's like, you do that, all bets are off. Streaming is going to become second nature already. People are going to go back to physical media probably.
Yeah. Well, that's if there's anything there, because you see the movie studios we have now, like we've only really got Paramount, Universal, Warner Brothers is kind of shutting down. Sony don't really have much these days apart from
Other than Crackle, they pretty much just sell their shit to other people. But yeah,
it'll be another few years before they relaunch Bond again, before they have another big franchise that they can work with.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you have?
Yeah. So Bruce, you know, I defended him. I didn't mind some of his indie B movies, but there were some other ones where it's like, yeah, this is amateur hour. Stallone, I've been kind of hit and miss. I actually don't mind Bullet to the Head. I kind of enjoy that as an Assassin's Tango and Cash kind of movie, but it's junky in places. But yeah, Arnold's been kind of, I know everyone else seems to hate Sabotage. I dug it because I was a fan of Training Day and Street Kings, but, and he played a, that actually is the only other time he seems to have played a villain, but Last Stand is okay. It's just distracts me because of the really bad like green screen and Forrest Whitaker seeming to just kind of appear for no reason. But it is okay. It's watchable. It's not.
At least it's better than Killing Gunther.
Right. I was actually trying to remember the name of that awful movie. Did you guys ever see that, Killing Gunther? Which?
No, never watched it.
Or Maggie, long story short, Taron Killam and his wife, Colby Smulders, created it. And it was basically just if a famous assassin decided to meet with like his famous action star or some bullshit like that. And it just was just so dull. And Arnold is barely in it, even though he's on the poster. And you're just like, scammed.
It's a Guest with its mockumentary style.
Yeah, and it's not even on Christopher Guest level. It's trying to be, but it's just really bad at it. I hope Arnold can make a cool TV comeback, because Stallone's been doing a few different things, but they haven't always been 100%. I hope that's it for the Rambo character. I don't want to see him blowing up any more people. I think he's already outlived that.
I don't think I should have done number five. I didn't mind it.
I liked it.
But I didn't. It didn't feel like a Rambo movie, I don't think.
I like the original idea they had for number five, the Savage Hunt story that they were developing. I thought
that would have been more interesting to me. But I mean, I'm just glad the Predator franchise is alive again. But
I love Prey. I watched it the other day and it was amazing. Really, really good.
So last question.
Still gotta get to that one day.
Oh, you'll love it. So Dutch. It's all good. Sorry. Dutch from Predator versus Rambo. Who has more grenade launchers?
Dutch took out the Predator.
Mm-hmm. And the Predator will be referee. So. Arnold does get the right to use Danny Glover. Stallone gets the right to just re-heal, respawn.
Who would have been Dutch? That sounds a bit.
No, I can't. I need to go Rambo. I can't.
I'm going to go with Team Dutch. Just because
I feel Team Dutch too.
I just feel like Dutch wouldn't bleed as much because he ain't got no time to bleed.
Yeah, time to bleed.
Oh, I don't know.
But yeah, what would you like to see them leave the world with, other than Arnold doing cameos as himself and Stallone just doing more cameos as Rocky Balboa. What would you like to see them do next?
I don't know. I feel their time has passed for the, you know, the films that you come to expect of them. So I'd like to see them do, you know, maybe step down as, I guess Sloane kind of done it in the Creed films.
He does seem to like to direct because he gets creativity. But at the same time, I can kind of tell that he gets exhausted with it. So if he wants to do a repeat of Homefront, like where he basically took an unused Rambo script and gave it to Jason Statham, I would love that. I think he burned some bridges with Terry Crews. I don't know that Terry's going to make it in the next one because his agent happened to be the same one that grabbed him, and I think he burned that bridge. Yeah. So, damn it, Stallone, you had one job.
Tell you what, I don't want to see any of them bring back any of their old characters.
I think they're done. I think they saw how they underperformed a bit, you know, and
I'm worried about the new Beverly Hills Cop. I mean, I love the fact, I was looking at the cast list today, weren't we? I love the fact that Billy and Taggart are back. That's going to be awesome. Gordon Levitt, I think, is a brilliant actor, so he's going to bring something great to it. I just don't think Eddie Murphy can do it anymore.
That's fair enough. Problem. That's my worry about that.
I mean,
I don't know. I reckon you'd be proven wrong with this.
I hope I'm wrong. I want him to be Beverly Hills Cop 2, Eddie Murphy, cheeky, funny, smart ass.
Well, no, I think that's a good point because I think these action heroes, they took so long to do sequels to their famous franchises.
Yeah.
Instead of making it drawn out like every other sci-fi horror blockbusters, you know, it wasn't necessarily their Friday the 13th or Star Trek. They just took their sweet time going into it, and each role they got into was basically a clone of their iconic character. And so, I'm going to go in optimistic just because it's been around for so long and they did such a good job with Dolomite Is My Name. I just don't see Eddie just, finding any worse script than any of his, you know, hit and miss 90s and 2000s movies. It can't be Norbit or, you know.
I hope not.
Level, you know.
First one we did with Cam was Eddie Murphy focused.
Yeah, yes, we did. I actually would have loved to have seen. There's a funny hysterical Facebook page called "Put Eddie Murphy in the Expendables." I was like, yes, do it.
What kind of character would he play? Would he be a mercenary or would he be a supporter?
I just want him to be a weapons dealer who goes.
Weapons dealer.
There we go. Yeah, I like the idea.
Hell, if he had to do what Harrison Ford essentially did, just drive a helicopter against a green screen, that would have been entertaining enough, and then say, I'm kicking your ass. That would be great.
Just sticking some bananas in the exhaust pipe.
Yes. Oh my God. That would have been great. Put it in inside like a super villain's giant indestructible blimp and it blows up. That'd be great. Oh, cartoon violence. How I miss you so.
No?
I'm just kind of bummed. Worn out with Jason Statham, so I hope he just sticks with the Expendables and stops doing just hit and miss vigilante movies.
Well, he's doing the Meg 2, isn't he? That's filmed, I think.
I like the Meg.
That is, yeah.
I'd be okay with that one. It's just a monster movie. What else do you want?
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I still like to see Mechanic 3 one day if it ever happens.
Yeah, they keep talking Mechanic 3, and I don't know what's holding it up. It seemed like it was a done deal.
Yeah, I haven't seen the second one. I've seen the first one.
You will love it. Like, second unit directing was by Vic Armstrong, you know, of Indiana Jones, Army of One fame. It's like a more realistic Agent 47 Splinter Cell movie. Like, it legit is so stealthy. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's so simple. The only disappointment was they put Michelle Yeoh in there and she didn't get to kick anyone. But John and I guffawed, and many people have. Tommy Lee Jones plays an ally in there, and his character is literally a reference to his Under Siege villain.
No way.
Yes. I wish I was making that shit up. But
okay. Fair enough.
He should have been in the Expendables. I would have paid to have seen that.
Yeah.
Are you saying Stallone or
No, Tommy Lee Jones would have been hysterical. Okay, yeah. And Seagal will never go there because the producers hate him. And he does like Seagal.
Yeah, when I met him, I asked him, and he was flat out like, "No, I'm not doing it."
I bet.
He was just flat out like, "No, I'm not doing it." I was like, "Oh, okay, all right, fair enough." Don't think of your fans then.
He would be like the best person to have as the villain for the
He would be the best villain for the...
Because he wouldn't have to do anything. He'd just be... and they could make fun of that. Someone could come in and say, "Why are you always sitting down?" He'd be like, "Get out of my face, bitch. Make me a sandwich." Yeah. Seagal.
He could use his Seagal vision from the TV show he did, where he's like, zooming in on bad guys.
We were actually joking about that Z-grade filmmaker, Neil Breen. You might have heard of him. He's like the modern day Ed Wood, Tommy Wiseau.
Okay, yeah.
Just really bad. Like, and he's a special kind of bad because you're just like, you're trying to figure out what's going on in his stupid movies and just guffawing uproariously because of the fake green screens and everything. But he literally does everything, like catering, like camera operator. He just does it all because no one else wants to be in his unprofessional movies, and yet everyone wants to line up and see what shit fest he has to unleash. He's like another just so bad it's good. Just
got to see it.
Mm. He's so fucking mental. Like, you can kind of tell that he knows he sucks, but like any kind of rap star or NFL player, he'll never fess up that it sucks. That's his brand. Kind of.
Yeah.
Got to keep having his non-charismatic, "What's wrong?" But we were just guffawing because he seems to have the same mentality as Seagal. It's like, he'll have something like that where it's like, "People are poisoning the environment." And then what does he do? He blows up the environment to kill people. It's just like, what the hell is going on?
I think he peaked. Like, I couldn't watch him after the Glimmer Man, I don't think.
Oh, God.
Which is a lot of light from him.
DMX should have totally been in the Expendables. I will just say that, but just was on too many drugs. But yeah, I think even just watching Seagal's in a so bad, they're amusing trash way is just kind of over. Everyone just has gotten just so bogged down with just how trashy half their beloved icons are nowadays.
I've thought every single Seagal film. On DVD, everything. I've got everything on DVD. And the last few were just
garbage.
Oh, what am I saying? Last few, actually. Anything after, like Pistol Whipped was all right, but then
Pistol Whipped was okay. But what's funny is we reviewed all his franchises, and I was surprised how many retweets we got from it. I had the what's his name from the Direct-to-Video Digest, Martin Hawes, Richard Hawes, he was dynamite, and we just kept guffawing. It's like, I think this is actually a sequel to this one, because he claims to be from the CIA in this particular one.
Well, I mean,
this is an Out for Justice sequel, especially Urban Justice. There's no way around that one, but yeah. He has it's the same shtick.
How do they come up with the names for this film? I imagine he's got like, these dice with like random words on them, and he puts them
out
in a bag.
For revenge. In for a kill, justice without a kill, that would be funny.
Surprised there hasn't been titles for those,
without a kill, that I would be funny seeing how many picked up that one. And he has a gun and he doesn't actually use it. That would be great. Without a kill, oh, I'm still the sensei. I kick you in the nuts and teach you how to be a man. And it's an unconvincing kick. There was a great riff tracks of A Dangerous Man, which is a god awful movie. But and what was so hysterical was I was looking at the preview because, you know, they're the Mystery Science Theater guys. You've heard of them. Riff Tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're showing the interrogation room and he slaps a book away and they do a close up, you know, and it looks like someone else's hands. And they're like, Jesus, he's even doubling the book slap.
Some of them, you watch it. You wonder how much he's probably have a whole film. He's probably owned like 3 days filming.
I had the opportunity to interview Keanu Waxman, and he said, literally, I'm writing for John Wayne. I'm giving him an excuse to sit down. And he's like, well, the only reason for him to be sitting down would be if he just is expelling all his logic, you know, and philosophy, psychology, so to speak. And so it's like Keanu just got hired because he was able to avoid getting punched by him and Seagal like that. So basically, Keanu's doing all his other revenge movies that could have worked, but I'm just glad he's past Seagal now. I don't think he has time for his mojo nowadays, especially during COVID. So he's just developing other stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys seem to be struggling. I think COVID really fucked up everybody.
Yeah. What were we going to ask?
I was going to say, there's a couple of actors that I thought might work in an Expendables film, but I'm not too sure. I just wanted to get your opinion. So
Liam Neeson.
No, the first one was Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Keanu Reeves.
He and his nickname is Runner. It can't be Maverick. Paramount will have a cease and desist thing. Yeah, it's got to be Runner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Banderas comes in, you know, because he plays Rapido. He's like, what are you talking about? No. Is he really the fastest?
I'm just not sure if they would work. I'm not sure if they're too young. Or...
No, I think no, I don't think that's it.
No? Not even
Keanu Reeves? I think at the minute they're too...
The Rock would definitely be a video voiceover cameo, you know, for 10,000 for the day, you know?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
And he kept saying, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. And it's like, that's his way of saying, I'm not going to work for under 30 million, you know?
Or either I'm too good for this.
Which sucks, because I want the Rundown too. Everybody wants the Rundown too. I don't know a single person who hates Faster or even his Walking Tall remake. He was just much fun.
What was it called over here?
Welcome to the Jungle. It was called over here. Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. Apologies. Yeah. We want Welcome to the Jungle too. And there's so many other TV actors who are still kicking ass. I get so bummed down when the Allstate guy, you know, Dennis Haysbert, you know, from Major League and 24, he will always star in some cool movies. And I'm like, bummer. What a cool show. And he was just in the latest Sniper movie. I love how Tom Berenger shows up reliable, but he's showing his age now. It would be cool if, you know, I'm always going to be a loyalist to Pierce Brosnan and Antonio Banderas. I still am impressed with what they pull off, even when they show their age. The November Man, Acts of Vengeance.
Pierce Brosnan, The Foreigner, with Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan still, he's getting up there.
Been a fan of him for years.
So they could put Michelle Yeoh in the Expendables. I'd be down with that. But
that would be a good show. Yeah,
she still seems to be able to do kick
character or something like that.
That would be awesome. She's the new CIA boss, and she's
you
disappointed me for the last time. Mark Dacascos is still out there.
I would love for that.
I'm glad that he was able to be in John.
Do you reckon Only the Strong 2 is going to get made? There seems to be a lot of spill around that.
Really? Well, it can't hurt.
He was on the Viking Samurai channel, and he was saying that the script is all done. Everyone, but even Shouten Lettage is back on for directing. Again, Paco, all that sort of, everyone's interested to coming back. So it's
I see it. Okay, that's the first video that comes out 5 days ago. Jesus.
I know he's working on that Warrior show right now.
Yeah.
What show?
So, Warrior. That's the one.
I thought Warrior was inspired. Oh, that's right, the Warrior show. Yeah. Okay. Well, the Raid guys will always be around. Keanu Reeves, nothing can kill that man. Something's got to give. He already did comebacks to everything. He's got to do one more speed, and I don't think he wants to, which is a shame, because that, in my mind, me and John's mind, is his ultimate role. And I'm like, you already did A Bill and Ted Freed. That was okay. Not notable, but fun. Matrix 4, Kill Me Now. Fuck that movie, and I say that as a fan of the trilogy.
It was awful.
There was zero point. I already liked how they closed it up the first time. You know, you watch him in Reloaded, and he stops, you know, sword blades, and he's getting weaker. And then he has to channel his energy and then fights Agent Smith in overlong third part. And it's like, you didn't need any more Matrix. The story was done and told. I already played the hell out of the video games. I love the Matrix. I love cyberpunk and sci-fi action movies. But yeah, that fourth one was just like, so it's in the real world and they're like different mirror universes. Like, yeah, this is a shitty Twilight Zone Star Trek episode. What's going on here? Street Kings 2 would have been ideal, but I think they wrecked that.
Yeah.
Because there was a direct-to-video sequel, which sucked.
Haven't bothered to watch that.
Yeah, don't. But like you said, John, there are some cool... The guys on Warrior, you know, are a lot of the raid guys. They're going to always find work and be in some giant martial arts movie. You know, one of them, Iko Uwais, you know, was great in Man of Tai Chi with Keanu, and he's in Expendables 4, so that's cool.
He's the main villain in Expendables 4.
So there you go. And Tony Jaa's his right hand, is he? Or is he a member of the team? He's Jet Li's replacement. Sure, I think he's Jet Li's replacement. And that brings me to another endeavor. It was really sad to just see how Jet Li was just barely getting in any performance. He just had some serious case of arthritis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Donnie Yen's going to be around for a while. And I hope he finally just tells moviegoers, hey, Vin Diesel is not in car racing, is not the future of action cinema. Just saying. Yeah.
No.
We need a new franchise. It can be more than that. Are you guys stoked for Equalizer 3?
Yes.
I am.
100%.
I wish, and I didn't mind the new TV show. It's more like NCIS, Person of Interest. It's just not noteworthy.
Yeah.
I get so sick of having to go to every movie and show and there's a culture war. It's like men and women are bashing each other. And it's like, come on, guys. I know we are politically torn apart, but we will always need the other gender. We can't keep stooping to this, you know? And again, I didn't want to see that show, but it really, in its own right, it wasn't half bad. It's fairly watchable. And personally, I did see people a lot smack talk the first two Equalizer movies, and I was like, seriously, you can handle Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible having very little to do with the TV classic, and yet it's like, don't get me wrong, I love Edward Woodward's original 80s show, but the movies are dynamite. They got great fights and villains.
Such a great
job. That final fight in the first film in the
when he's pre-visualizing it with the corkscrew and everything, and you're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
How violent can you get in an R rating? But yeah, I was glad they announced that, and I'll always be there for Denzel. Have you seen any of Liam Neeson's more recent work?
No fan of Liam Neeson.
Oh.
And he's out.
Yeah.
That's all he has to say. He's done.
Damn. Not a fan of Darkman or the Jedi Knight or Brian Mills.
I haven't seen much of his new stuff. Loved him in Taken. I think that probably went on a bit longer than
It went too long, but
too long.
That was just average at best.
So. All good. All the Blu-rays that are uncut show way more graphic grit and subplots and graphic language and more gory gunshots to the head, and they slow them down more. And I think if everyone saw the Blu-ray cuts, they'd enjoy those otherwise predictable slugfests more. The TV show is way better. I gotta say though, I like going in, the trailers sucked. I was like, why they're milking this. And I saw the show finally, and I saw what people were talking about. It's more like the unit in 24. And speaking of which, I think Kiefer still has it. I think he's still a dynamite actor, and I mean, he got to play the fucking person.
And a really nice guy. Yeah. We met.
Really wonderful. Oh, really?
He signed a couple of my Lost Boys Funko Pops and a couple other bits for me.
Yeah, Tom, though. He wanted to talk to you, didn't he?
What year?
This was just before COVID, so 2019.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Yeah.
He gave me a copy of his album for free. The new album.
It's a really good album. Really rocks.
Such a kind man. Like you hear stories about him in the news, and it just goes
completely. I think he's past the drunk stage of his career, and I think that's his it. I'm looking forward to Young Guns 3. Kidding.
I think I'm making that. Yeah,
they are still making it. Emilio and Lou Diamond Phillips are attached, even Christian Slater.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if it's them fighting in the afterlife or if they escape death just barely, but I'm like, cool, whatever. There's a bunch of these other 80s and 90s stars that were still pretty reliable, and I like how Tom Hanks has even gotten more into more war movies recently. Seems like just about everyone has a cool slugfest every once in a while where they're in a Western and it's like, Jesus, that's what I want to see. We were talking 48 hours earlier. Walter Hill did show off a poster for his upcoming Western.
There's a trailer out for it, actually.
There's a trailer. Okay, even better. So have you heard of this, guys? Dead for a Dollar.
No.
No.
Okay, so this has Christoph Waltz, William Dafoe, Rachel...
Oh, no, actually, I have.
Yeah. Brosnahan from Miss Maisel, and Benjamin Bratt. Also has Brandon Scott, who you might know from The Last of Us video game.
Okay.
This is Us. So, I mean,
Christoph Waltz and Willem Dafoe, two fantastic character actors right there.
Yeah, no, great. But, like, this legit looks like a love letter to all the Westerns we've seen, you know, growing up. And it's supposed to be distributed later this month by Quibber. So,
oh, wow. So quite soon.
From the studio that brought you The Fanatic. Oh, poor John Travolta.
He's done so many early films, and I'm a much bigger fan of early Tom Hanks than I am later Tom Hanks. But
yeah, did you see the latest one he did?
Pinocchio.
Okay. there's a bunch, so I'm just gonna. So did you see News of the World, that new Western he did, or Sully, or Captain Phillips? Sully.
I saw Captain Phillips.
Yeah. Cloud Atlas.
He's great in them. He's a great actor, but that's not what I want from Tom Hanks. I want Tom Hanks from Dragnet. I want Tom Hanks from Turner and Hooch.
True.
The Burbs.
Yeah. Road to Perdition. But,
it was nice to see him go back to just do something stupid.
Yeah.
I thought Finch was really underrated. That post-apocalyptic movie he did.
Which one, sorry?
Finch.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's another movie he did for Apple, but Greyhound I thought was a perfect return to Saving Private Ryan, Forrest Gump kind of level.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. It's a different kind of character altogether, but it was just cool just seeing how he made this giant indie production and got to make a cool kind of old school movie.
Right, okay. Fair enough.
Something else that was done around us, Saving Private Ryan, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was literally filmed in Tank Park. he was they shot him and Vin Diesel, weren't they? They're all
right.
We're not making this up either. It's actually all true.
No, I remember
Bruce Willis actually lives next door right now. He's literally 5 foot that way.
We're making that up.
I want a sequel to Dragnet. I think a sequel to Dragnet with
that'd be
Dan Aykroyd right now would be just brilliant.
It'd be interesting to see where they would go.
Well, they're both captains now.
Yeah.
And they're in like two separate police buildings in the same town, and one of them is really by the book and the other one's a bit mental, and they like have to work together.
I actually enjoyed the last Da Vinci Code after being meh on the first two.
Inferno. I like all of them. Yeah, I think all of them are fairly good.
I just wish he could actually pick up a gun, you know, or do something.
Was Angels and Demons the second one?
Yes.
That was probably my.
Speaking of which, oh my god, Ian McGregor kicked some serious ass on this latest Kenobi show. I couldn't believe it.
I'm not a fan.
Not a Star Wars guy. All right.
I struggle with Star Wars. I'm more Star Trek. I'm more a logical.
No, don't get me wrong. I prefer Star Trek anyway.
That makes sense.
Star Trek has better philosophy and action and even just better movie. While Star Wars gets wrapped up in next time on.
Why did the lightsabers end?
Right.
Why do the lightsabers have an end? They shouldn't stop.
Right. It's technically a laser. And that's just it. It took me a while to realize it's like, yeah, it's a fantasy movie.
Yeah, I know.
A spaceship and freaking robots. Okay.
But if you try and have that conversation with any Star Wars fan, you know?
I know John doesn't care about this, but I actually am excited for Indiana Jones 5. I was like, thank you. Anything to erase the memory of that. I just like how, again, just Banderas is going to be the villain in that, and James Mangold's attached, and I'm hoping they got a better script. It can't possibly be
any worse
satirical like the last one, you know? And
swinging Shia LaBeouf, man.
I did hear Richard Dean Anderson might return for this upcoming Stargate show that Amazon's thinking of making. So I'm like, cool, get on it.
Did you hear the rule that he had about the DVDs on the posters when it came out? He has to be like 33% bigger. His picture has to be 33% bigger than anyone else on the cover art of the DVDs.
Richard Dean Anderson. I'm not surprised. He was basically the entire time coming to set whenever he wanted. Every line he said was improvised, which is why it's so fucking funny, because he's a funny man. And half the time he's making fun of his, you know, MacGyver character. So, his issue is just he was on some steroids, but I think he could actually come in and give a competent performance. It wouldn't be like Val Kilmer where you're like, I'm so sorry, you're struggling from throat cancer, but man, you were such a prick back in the day.
Yeah.
Ugh. Hey, tough, how about Ed Harris? He's always busy. Badass. Always a cowboy.
Loved him in The Rock.
The Rock. He's still kicking ass here on Westworld.
He is, yeah. That show I got confused with.
Yeah, fair enough. There were so many other similar shows like that. I mean, we just mentioned William Dafoe. He's always showing up and kicking some ass. And I would have liked that new Spider-Man way better had it just been him that came back. When they brought all those other fuckers back, I was like, no, these are the worst parts of all these other movies. Why did you bring Jamie Foxx back from Amazing Spidey 2? Why did you bring back Thomas, you know, Sandman from Spider-Man 3? No, those guys sucked. I don't want to be reminded of how bad those movies were.
You think they're going to carry on those franchises now over at Disney?
Oh, yeah. I would not be surprised if we get till 2040 before critics finally say, okay, Disney, no more bribes. We're done with your movies. You know, they flunk. It's a shame, too. I mean, John and I have mentioned this endlessly. We want more of Angelina Jolie going out and kicking ass. She's a competent director, I think, but it's not what I want. I want to see her in a sci-fi epic instead of doing voiceovers or being a, you know, retired mom and producer. Yeah. It's just like, I can't win.
I guess some people just make their money and then they just want to do what they want to do rather than...
Even our B-movie guys, you know, is like, they're getting up there in age. So Samuel L. Jackson and freaking Danny Trejo, you know, are just kind of keep just showing up and just making cameos as opposed to being in the movie, which is a shame. But they are in some recurring TV roles now, which is good.
Yeah. I tell you what, the last film I saw Samuel L. Jackson in, and it surprised me, actually, because it was a really good film. It was Spiral from the Book of Saw.
Oh, God.
I thought, who's the other guy in it?
Chris Rock.
I think Chris Rock in that was brilliant. I've always, like, Chris Rock's been okay, but he's always been a bit too in your face and a bit too...
Yeah. He was a comedian, and now I couldn't get into that movie. I thought it was funny in a trashy way.
Really? Ah, okay.
I'm just not a fan of torture porn and all that. It's like, it's got to be more like
the same thing.
Yeah. It's got to be more like Hellraiser or Wishmaster or something like that, where I'm just like, I look forward to this. You know, like if you're not doing it, going to do a cool monkey's paw or what have you, just at least, you know, do something that just really, you know, you are taking a chance, you know, you want to do this, and instead of just sequel after sequel feeling like it was related in name only. And
I think the thing I loved about the Saw franchise before, obviously this one, they tried to make a new franchise, whether they will or not I don't know, is that they all generally had like a twist at the end which I was surprised with, regardless of the gore.
That was what made me just take to my bed. I was like, it doesn't add up with anything I've just seen.
Okay,
but then again, I did predict that the guy pulling the strings was the guy on the floor. I was like, yeah, it's always the unless you see for sure the body is dead, it's never not alive.
Yeah, true, that's fair.
So I think we mentioned a lot of the tough guys out there. Sam Jackson is on this really wonderful Apple show that he might be getting some awards for, which is forget the name of it, Spencer Gray or something like that. But yeah, it's just an elderly man growing up in modern day America. And but yeah, like you're saying, a lot of our beloved actors, they're kind of just, I can't blame them. They want to challenge themselves, but at the same time, I do secretly wish they could be in a cool kind of team up movie. Like half the cast of Ocean's 11, I thought was going to do similar movies like that. And they kind of did for a while. Brad Pitt was every once in a while in kind of a spy or an action packed mystery movie. And Matt Damon, I think, is done after The Bournes and a few other war and Western movies, which is a shame because I thought he was a decent leading man. And Ben Affleck, his friend, seems to be doing a lot of that now, but he's still mainly directing.
Yeah. I want to see more of his Batman.
I thought hell. When is The Accountant 2 coming out?
That's what I'm waiting for.
Marky Mark is okay, but much like J-Lo and Ice Cube, there are times where it's just like, okay, you're playing yourself here. Okay, now you're actually into the role, and it seems like Peter Berg has been practically the only one who can get him to not play himself. I did like Ray Liotta, but rest in peace. Oh, man. That was hard. That was so sad.
Who thought Al Pacino and Robert De Niro were going to outlive him?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Honestly, have you seen Al Pacino lately?
Yeah. Like, he looks like shit. And,
and he's still making films.
What is he doing now when he's not producing or making bullshit for that scandalous producer who was putting him, 50 Cent, and Bruce Willis and Morgan Freeman in a bunch of movies together. Freeman will always be around. I don't think he's gonna punch anyone, but
well, he's God, isn't he? So, you know,
right, he's God, he doesn't have to. Yeah, I don't know what Pacino's up to. I don't think he cares.
Yeah,
and so yeah, how lame that Tom Cruise drinks some Scientology potions and he gets to outlive everybody. It's fucked up.
Oh, he will live forever. Yeah, they're going to cryogenically freeze his head until they can.
And by that point, he will be raising a bunch of other idiots to take his place. He just got to believe in the God of Scientology and aliens and say yes to everything and it'll be fine. Christian Bale, though, I do hope he makes a comeback doing more action-packed stuff. Russell Crowe shows up and stuff every once in a while, but I think everyone just gets so sick of his off-screen misbehavior that he's just not as big a commodity now.
Yeah, but like, what you got to think, what would we do with that amount of money and freedom? I think I'd be pretty nuts. I know you'd be pretty nuts.
What was the film that Russell Crowe just done?
Got all these movie stars. Yeah,
it was kind of like where it started off with road rage, and then he just stalked that woman.
Oh, Unhinged.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't like Russell Crowe. I think I just don't like his films.
It's very prickly. Yeah,
but that was a bloody good film.
Which brings us to the movie was often compared to Law Abiding Citizen, and it was like, Gerard Butler is our go-to guy, and John did bring up that he's apparently in a lawsuit with Millennium Films, which is a shame. So it's like, he won't be in any of these Expendables movies.
It's always behind the scenes politics.
It's just like, if the check don't clear, you don't get to do business, which sucks because it'd be a lot of fun.
So I'm still waiting for some of his other films that are supposed to get released.
But there was one movie where he was on the run and he was like framed for his wife's death or something that looked pretty intense. I've seen people compare it to Breakdown and
that came out.
I didn't see it yet, but it seemed like it was decent. But
I know he has that plane movie that filmed.
Yeah, well, so there you go. If that was by the same producers, is that stalled?
Yeah.
And it seems like everybody's got to be doing something video on demand and just to freaking put food on the table, which sucks.
Well, there's just so many more opportunities to get your content in front of people now these days, isn't there?
You mentioned Accident Man. Ray Stevenson was in that. It would be cool to see him do something cool.
Yeah. I reckon Johnny Depp should be brought back now. All his troubles are done, so
I don't know. A decent action. I won't see his movies because
no,
he'll probably misbehave on set like he has been every other movie. So it would be cool to see. I mean, Dolph will always be around, so obviously.
Well, he's just having foot surgery, isn't he? He's going to have to slow down now.
He'll slow down, but I mean, if he just shows up and just punches a few people, that'll be fine. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated. It just shouldn't look like shit, like some of those movies he was doing in between.
You like Castle Ford?
Oh, I do, but I think he's kind of retired.
No, Castle Falls,
Yeah.
I really like that one.
Yeah.
I thought you said Harrison Ford. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yes, Castle Falls, it was pretty cool. There's plenty of other people who could be doing something, but they're still just on the small screen kicking ass or doing something else like that. So,
yeah.
We will see. Yeah. I just hope that any newcomer that comes out, that they get to. Again, you know, if they can just be doing all these unmade movie scripts, that's fine by me, you know?
There must be so much out there that, you know.
I think there is. I'm sure there's plenty of Clint Eastwood, Charles Bronson type scripts that have yet to be made, and they just have to update it or make a few changes. And
I think Hollywood's just scared of bringing out original, like a lot of the streaming platforms.
Well, because they don't market it.
No,
and it's exactly. Like,
no, they don't.
They wonder why it flops every time. Like, because you made it look like a music video that turned everyone off.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you get these small surprises, like the Paramount released Orphan First Kill theatrically at the same time as on Paramount Plus, and it was the highest. It was number two at the box office that week with absolutely no market spend on it whatsoever.
Wow.
Even though it was available on Paramount Plus at the same time, it's still number two at the box office that week, so it shows you that, you know, things can happen.
Totally.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.